This is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Mike Canary. Thanks for joining us. This might not come as a surprise to many listeners, but sales of alcohol in the United States spiked sharply back in mid-March. According to Nielsen, sales of alcoholic beverages rose 55% in the week ending March 21st, and there was a 243% increase in online orders. While data shows that overall alcohol sales have settled back down to near normal levels, on today's show we're going to talk about how the stresses caused by living under social distancing guidelines during a global pandemic might be causing some people to drink too much, and how the added stresses we're all under, and just plain fear, might be exacerbating the problem for people who were already struggling with alcohol or any addiction before COVID-19 spread around the world. To explore this trying time, we're joined by Ahmed Ayed. He's the newly named director at the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation's facility in Naples. Ahmed, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
This conversation is not live, so to engage with us and your fellow listeners about this show or any of our shows, find us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So for starters, just real quick, tell us a bit about yourself and your background. Like, how long have you been with Hazelden Betty Ford in general, and just what's your background?
Yes, thank you, Mike. I've been with the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation for about 8 years. I started off at our location in Center City, first started working on a women's unit, working with healthcare professionals, so medical and nursing and other psychiatrists who also sometimes need help with their addictions. Then became a manager, supervisor of a couple of men's units there, also became involved with our comprehensive opioid response program, which I'm the national director of currently for the foundation. Then moved to our location in St. Paul, where I've been working with outpatient programming for opioid use disorder, so part of our comprehensive opioid response program. And just a couple of months ago, moved over to Naples. I started there on an interim basis, and as you know, interim soon becomes permanent. And that's how I ended up being in Naples right now. Before that, I originally come from Egypt, and I came to Hazelden to attend the Hazelden Graduate School of Addiction Studies. In Egypt, I worked on an addiction unit in a psychiatric hospital there for a number of years. So I have a BA in applied psychology and a master's in addiction counseling.
So you say you've been here for a couple months. Like, be more precise, because everything changed in, you know, mid-March.
Yeah.
Were you here like a week or two and then the whole world changed, or did you...
No, actually, I arrived on March 13th at Naples, so caught a couple of days before everything kind of switched over. So started work actually on March 16th, and that's when we started shifting all of our in-person intensive outpatient and outpatient programming to virtual, and was there for 8 weeks. I believe I left on May 1st, so I think I was there for about 8 weeks.
So you're still not there?
Now I'm back in Minnesota, selling my home, finding a place to live in Naples, and should be back in about 10 days.
Understood. So you're still transitioning.
Yeah.
So, wow, how talk about timing. Jeez. I mean, yeah, March 16th is the day.
It was the day, definitely. It wasn't how I envisioned my first couple of weeks to be in Naples, but you know, it was a great time to be there, because a lot of change was happening, and a lot of change management needed to occur in order for us to switch really our operations to virtual services, which was something that we've already been working on as an organization, but we were still, you know, we were going to have like kind of soft launch of that. We have a program called Recovery Go, but of course with COVID-19, everything had to ramp up pretty quickly. We ended up as an organization switching, I think, around 1,300 patients from in-person intensive outpatient to virtual services within a week. Was pretty outstanding.
You know, and I don't want to spend too much more time on this, because we have other things to talk about, but it's kind of perfect timing too, because you don't have to learn how things used to work there, because it's really probably never going to work there again that way, you know?
True. A lot of change happened. However, we still have in-person programming, so we still have residential services and day treatment services where patients are living on site.
Okay.
So we're continuing to provide that service.
Okay. Well, more broadly speaking, you know, about what we're here to talk about. We had some mental health counselors on the show a few weeks ago talking about their telemedicine efforts and things like that. But they said, you know, the thing that really stuck out was whatever people were struggling with before this all happened, it's still there. And this is all happening. So that's kind of the crux of what people are dealing with right now in terms of, you know, drinking too much and consuming too many things. Is that about right?
Absolutely. You know, we know that alcohol sales increased about 55% until the week ending March 21st, which is really a significant increase in sales. And when you think about it, people are isolated, staying at home. And if there was already a problem that was disguised or swept under the rug in some way, shape, or form, just being at home with all of the current stresses and possibly unemployment and uncertainty about the future, you can easily see how drinking and drug use and whatever existing problems there were are exacerbated through this time.
Are you hearing from people more? Are you having people reach out for services? Has there been a correlative spike in what you guys do?
Oh, absolutely. Our intensive outpatient services in Naples has doubled. You know, we've had to open two extra groups to accommodate the number of people who are seeking treatment right now. You know, SAMHSA, the Substance Use and Mental Health Administration, they experienced an 891% increase in through the distress hotline between March 2019 and March 2020. And that's significant. So there are definitely a lot more people who are experiencing the stress of the current times, and it's definitely exacerbating mental health and addiction issues.
You know, one of the links that you guys sent over in preparing for this show was to a survey done by alcohol.org that talks about how about one in three people who are now working from home, according to survey data, say that they have drank during what would be their business hours or their work hours. And I'm just wondering if, you know, the routine of going to a job might be something that is a strong helper for people trying not to drink or use drugs.
Absolutely. You know, there are protective factors, you know, family, having work, healthy social relationships, you know, all of that help people to be able to control the drinking. But if someone is, you know, working from home and staying at home for the majority of their time and not interacting with other people socially and not able to, you know, exercise and go to the gym and spend time outdoors, definitely you can easily imagine how there'll be an increase in drinking. Even for people who may not have drank that often or that much otherwise, you know, there is something to be said to having, you know, a structured schedule that I'm going to wake up in the morning and shower and put my clothes on and drive to work and interact with other people, that creates balance. You know, being at home and just getting on the computer, some people seem to take to it really, really well and function well like that. Other people working from home can be a big challenge. Also, when you add into that having children at home or having to be homeschooled and other family members that are at home, and or if there are any other you know, issues that are occurring in the home, like emotional abuse, physical abuse, which we're seeing a spike and rise in during these times, it makes it very difficult.
So would you say that maybe forcing yourself to have some sort of a routine, even if it's not going to work, might be something that would be very beneficial right now? Because I know I'm kind of forcing myself to do that to some degree myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Having a routine and having a schedule is paramount, and this is really pertinent in talking with people struggling with addiction, is to have a focus and specific goals that one needs to achieve on any given day. But, you know, if I have staff who are currently working from home too, and my advice to them is wake up at the same time that you would usually wake up if you were going to work, follow the exact same routine that you would have done, definitely get dressed and shower and shave and all of the basics and have breakfast, and also to know when work ends, because when one is working from home, you can easily see where someone can say, okay, I'll do that an hour later, and suddenly they're working until 7 or 8 or 9 p.m. Because there's no, you know, there's no clocking in and clocking out. So having that also is really important, you know, knowing that I'm going to start at 8, I'm going to take a break at 12 for lunch, and at 4:30, that's it, I'm going to shut down, I'm done, and then engage in some healthy activities, exercising at home, going for a walk, connecting with family members, all of that becomes really relevant.
Yeah. I don't know how much time you spend on social media, but I've seen one of those visual memes floating around that's, it's kind of humorous, but it's also in sort of what we're talking about. It's like it's a drawing of a cup of coffee handing a baton off to a bottle of wine. And it's funny, and it resonates right now, because I think that, you know, it resonates. But I also think, you know, that might be the kind of humor that might be hard for people who are, you know, alcoholics, who are, you know, in recovery, to see something that's funny that is also, you know, something they're trying to avoid. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. You know, people in early recovery, especially now, and even in long-term recovery, are definitely struggling. You know, in isolation and loneliness and boredom, and many people are experiencing that now. So the thing that we need to focus on now more than ever is just having empathy and understanding, and just not being as judgmental as we sometimes can be. You know, people are genuinely struggling, and they need as much understanding and connection, and not to feel ashamed of how the struggles might be manifesting at this time, you know. And this is a good time for this, because everybody's struggling on some level. And I know that people use humor to alleviate the stress and feel better about what's happening, and a lot of that is appropriate and actually can be helpful. But for some people, it's not funny. It's serious. You can imagine someone who's struggling with depression or anxiety or substance use. Use issues, who's, you know, having challenging times now, and you know, we need to reach out to others and help them and be empathic towards them, rather than minimize their struggles or make comments that are unhelpful. You know, that can be very detrimental to people's mental health.
So, what advice would you give to somebody whose, you know, family member or loved one is, you know, drinking too much right now, and they don't know what to say or don't know what to do?
Again, you know, empathy and love, and approaching people from the perspective that support is available and help is available, and that there's no shame in having a chronic disease like addiction or having a mental health issue, and that support is still available. The majority of treatment centers right now are still functioning, and a lot of them have virtual services available. We definitely do at Hazelden, and this hasn't stopped. You know, people might feel or think that because of stay-at-home orders and the business is shutting down, that services aren't available for mental health and addiction, but they definitely are, and they should reach out and sooner rather than later, because things can progress pretty quickly when there are no other duties that the person has to be involved in. If somebody's staying at home all the time and having one or two drinks a day, it can easily escalate to 5, 6, 7, or 10, because there's nothing to look forward to. Reaching out for help is really important, and knowing that help is still available, and thankfully we're living at a time where technological services are highly advanced, and we have things like Zoom and virtual services that people can access.
If you're just joining the show, we're discussing how the added stresses caused by living under social isolation during a global pandemic can lead to more drinking and substance abuse in general, and ways to help loved ones who you think might be struggling with addiction right now. My guest is Ahmed Aid. He's director of Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation's facility in Naples. He's a licensed alcohol and drug counselor as well. To engage with us and your fellow listeners about this topic or any of our shows, find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Just just use the hashtag GCL. So you've referenced that you guys are doing some in-person stuff there at the facility. Go back, circle back to that and be a little more specific.
Sure. So we still have residential services. That's the highest level of care that usually people require as they're seeking treatment. So that's usually for people who may require some level of detoxification or who are going to experience some form of withdrawal symptoms when they stop using. So it's a 24-hour structured environment that has mental health services and medical services available and ongoing individual and wellness and group therapy. Day treatment is a step lower than that in terms of intensity of services. So there's still recovery housing associated with that, but patients generally engage in programming from 8 a.m. till about 3:30 p.m. After that, there's some more ancillary services that are outside of COVID-19 times that usually involve going out into the community and attending 12-step support meetings and other support meetings and so on. Right now, obviously, all of these are happening virtually now, and the recovery community has really taken to virtual services, so providing that through this. So we're still open that way, and we're still delivering care and services to patients who may need residential and or day treatment services. Usually people who are unable to stop using independently and require some time and clinical expertise to get them safely through the initial period of withdrawal, which can be physically detrimental to people, especially to people who are using alcohol.
You know, do you have to, I'm trying to think how to word this, but, you know, proximity to each other is something we're trying to avoid. If somebody's going through a very serious detox situation, do you need to be close to them? And how do you handle that in terms of personal protective equipment and things like that?
Yes, absolutely. So we're doing COVID-19 testing at all of our sites right now, either at admission or pre-admission. Patients initially for the first couple of days until the results come back are isolated as much as possible from other patients. But we've also established many protocols like mask wearing and hand washing and sanitizing to address any issues that may arise. We obviously don't treat COVID-19 directly, so we establish discharge plans with patients in case they contract or start showing any symptoms related to the disease. We then work with community healthcare systems to transition patients there until such a time that they are either their test results come back negative or positive, and depending on that, they can then return to treatment. So we practice as much physical distancing as we possibly can, but we also work really hard on maintaining the integrity and safety of all of our sites. So there are no visitations right now, for example. There are no outside events that occur at any of our sites. All patients and staff members have their temperature taken and screened for symptoms on a daily basis. Everybody on site has to wear a mask and so on. So as much as possible, trying to adhere to CDC guidelines regarding COVID-19 and so on.
Again, back to where we started with, this is all new for you. That must be an interesting work environment that you didn't expect, you know?
Yes, absolutely. It was not how I envisioned my transitions to Naples would be, but this is what we need to do to continue to provide services to this very vulnerable population, especially at this time. So I'm really gratified and humbled by all of the great work that our staff is doing in order to continue to provide these services and support patients in this time of great need.
When we had the mental health counselors on recently, the main reason we had them on is because in their world they've been able to expand what they can provide remotely because of some loosening rules. How much has that expanded or changed the dynamic for what you're able to offer? Is it the same thing we talked about with them basically?
Yes, absolutely. There's still some restrictions that we have to abide with, but we are working with with many states in order to be able to be licensed in all 50 states to provide virtual services across state lines. Right now in Florida and Naples, for example, at the Naples site, we can also only provide virtual services to Florida residents, people who are residing there. It is obviously really important during any virtual interaction that we are able to verify where the patient is, meaning physically at that point in time, if they are at home, what their location is, just so we can have some safety measures and procedures in case something requires an intervention, you know. Even within these confines, we are definitely able to provide services to many more people. And like I said, we have doubled, I think, the capacity that we have for patients for intensive outpatient virtual services.
You know, you mentioned earlier that you you chair the Hazel and Betty Ford Foundation's Comprehensive Opioid Response. Is that, did I get that correct?
Yep, the Comprehensive Opioid Response with the 12 steps.
So presumably we're mostly talking about alcohol here today, but I would think that people who struggle with all the other addictions are having the same problems, right?
Oh, absolutely, definitely. The main issue, you know, with opioid use disorder is the sudden onset of overdose and likelihood of death resulting from that. So ongoing education and providing services to that population right now is paramount.
What do you think, have you given much thought to the long-term, you know, mental health impact this is going to have, you know, on everyone collectively, I think, to some degree?
Absolutely. It's hard to quantify right now, but as we're just seeing from what's happening from alcohol sales and calls to distress lines and what we're hearing about in terms of abuse and at the home and so on, and the general isolation is definitely harmful to anyone who's struggling with mental health issues. So we definitely foresee that there's going to be a significant increase in people seeking help and needing support moving forward. So I don't think that virtual services are going to go away as such, even when the pandemic is over. I think there's always going to be a need for that, because I think there's always going to be a subset of patients who would actually rather be able to join and receive services virtually through telehealth and so on, rather than to show up in person. And there will always be people who benefit more from in-person services. So, you know, the silver lining here is that we've definitely expanded our services, and we've had to move pretty quickly to have these services available, and there will be people who will continue to benefit from them in the future.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my guest. Ahmed Aid is a licensed alcohol and drug counselor and the newly named director of the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation's Naples facility. Ahmed, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mike. Pleasure talking to you.
If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, wgcu.org/GCL, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.